So our scripture lesson is 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove the mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So I did this because the word showed up in the dark, but nothing is probably the most important part of that. Without love, everything else is nothing. So at the beginning, he talks about all these powers that people had. And some of them, we may not think of powers now, but 2,000 years ago, they were really important. So he talks about having tongues, or I would think voices might be a better word, having the voices of men or angels. Prophetic power, meaning able to tell what God was trying to share through his writings with all the world. Have enough faith to move a mountain. How many of you, when you hear about a gong, think of the Gong Show? Now, it just shows our age. But if we don't have love, that's really all meaningless. It's just like a noisy cymbal or a clanging gong. So no love means nothing. And so I put Scrooge in here. So if you think about the Christmas Carol and the character Scrooge, it appears that he has all the money in the world. He lives in a really fancy house, but because he doesn't do anything with it, it's really dingy and dark and gloomy. But he had enough money to fix it up. But when you think about the story, the love he had when he didn't have any love from his family, the love he had as a younger man with a young lady that he was to marry, he pushes her away. So he's at the end of his life. He has all the money in the world, but he has no love. And he's really kind of a sad, pathetic character. There's nothing there redeeming, except if you remember, his nephew sees something in him. And the nephew says, well, I know he's a good person because my mom said he was, Scrooge's sister. So he sees that in him when nobody else does. And so most of what I'm going to talk about is what love is. Now, usually, when do you hear this scripture most often?
Weddings.
I heard it at a funeral recently, which was different. But what the pastor did was he talked about the love the family had towards the person who passed away and the love the man who passed away had towards his family. And I'd never heard anybody do that before, but I thought that was a good way. And what he told him at the end was, even though this person is no longer with you, that love is still there. It never goes away. And so I know we usually do hear it at weddings, but I thought it was interesting he did it at a funeral, and I thought it worked out really well. And so for us, we usually think of this in terms of individual. It's when you see it at a wedding, it's the husband and the wife coming together, and it's the love that they're supposed to have for each other. Well, I'd like for you guys to think of it in bigger terms today. Think of it more in the terms of loving those that we don't know particularly individual, but more on a world level. So this morning on the news, there was shootings and stabbings and the usual stuff every time on the news. And I'm thinking, if people could find a way to love each other, even if they don't know each other, if they just cared for each other, it would put an end to that. So I'd like for you to think of this love more in a bigger term, not just individual with with a partner or family member. So if he begins by talking about what love is. Well, love's patient. Now, I told some of you this story, and so this was my patient story. We leave the women's basketball game. We're at Riverside. We're at the arena at Ball State. We're at Riverside in Tillotson, and my wife says, I don't have my phone with me. And I said, does that mean you had it at the game and now you don't have it? She said, yes. Now, we've been married 37 years. We'll say 37. But it could be 38, but I think 37 is the number. I only have to remember the date of the anniversary. Let's all be serious, okay? I don't have to remember how long it is. And so she sent me on these wild goose chases before. So the very first thing I said, I'm going to call your phone. In case it's like in a pocket, in a purse. Because we've done that where I've like searched all over the countryside and it's in her jacket. So this would not be the first time. But it really was. She left it in the arena. We drove back. The gates were still open. So she was able to go in and get it. It just made the trip home about 30 minutes longer than I thought it was going to be. And so sometimes that really aggravates me. I bet none of you have ever gotten aggravated with a loved one when they leave something, drop something, lose something. This was pretty good for me. I was pretty patient. Now that was individual, but the question is, can we be patient to groups around us? And so we were at a ball game a couple weeks ago, and there was a pretty long line getting in because time they check purses. I never bring my purse to the game, by the by. But time they check purses and you get the ticket scanned, there was a pretty long line, it was cold. And this one guy walks in the door in front of all of us, and then he just kept walking in. And apparently he was really special because he walked right to the head of the line and walked in. I don't know why he thought that was important. Nobody said anything to him, but he got a lot of looks. And so as a group, for somebody that we didn't know, we were pretty patient with him. But can we be patient with like the guys that cut you off in traffic? Which you clearly know that I have issues with. So can you be patient with those people you don't know? But the people that do that kind of stuff. And so for us, I think part of being loving to the world is that patience when people try your patience. Love does not envy. And I always think of envy as wanting. So wanting. So when you go by and you see, well, I'll use sports metaphor since the football games are on today. So when some basketball, football player, somebody, whoever, gets, so if Tom Brady waits 2 weeks before he retires, he gets a $15 million bonus. If I was his wife, I'd be saying, Tom, don't you be retiring for two more weeks, okay? Because that, and who knows how much money. But $15 million, even for a pro athlete, it's a lot of money, okay? But there's no reason to envy Tom Brady or any of those athletes. They just have the ability to do stuff that the normal person can only dream about doing. And we live in a time where they get paid an exorbitant amount of money to do what a lot of us think of as a game. But there's no reason to envy. And so it doesn't matter whether you're the best basketball player, football player, but you have people that, I was watching a thing about McAfee, the guy who invented that software. He hasn't been involved in the company for 15 years, but they were talking about how much money he made because he was kind of the first guy to come up with some of that security stuff. And he's still real cutting edge, but he's a little weird. But if you guys have ever been around any of those computer guys, sorry if anybody in here falls in that category, sometimes they're a little weird, but maybe you have to be a little weird to come up with that stuff the way they do. But there's no reason to think, well, gosh, he shouldn't make however much money. So there's no reason to envy him. And I don't know him at all. I have some of his products on my computer, but there's no reason to envy them. Now, boasting, there's no reason to tell everybody how rich you are. There's no reason for Tom Brady to go out and say, yep, I got $1 zillion. Not even my kids' kids could spend all the money I made. Because that would be boasting. There's no reason to do that. But there's no reason for a country to boast about how great and wonderful it is. There's no reason for anyone in politics, which we see that a lot of right now, boasting about how great and wonderful it is. There's no reason to do that boasting to the world or to anyone. We're not supposed to be rude. So that guy shouldn't have cut in line in front of all of us. But we all sometimes make a mistake too. I was walking in the door one time. I looked behind me to see if anybody was coming. I didn't see anybody, and then I just let go of the door, and there was some lady, I don't know where she came from. I don't know if she was in my blind spot or what. I didn't see her, and the door kind of hit her, and I felt bad. And then you do one of those, oh, sorry, and you kind of try to hold the door, but I didn't see her. I bet from her point of view, I was being rude, but from my point of view, I don't know where she came from. She wasn't like, you know, real short, small person. She just snuck in there somehow. And so we're not supposed to be rude. And it's not just about being rude to people we know, but it's about all those people around us. And love never insists on its own way. So if everything has to be your way, so if I always have to be first in line at the expense of everyone around, then that's not love. I'm not loving all those people around me. Now, I always think it's funny, and we do this, is sometimes we say what stuff is, and sometimes we say what it's not. I think that means we have a hard time describing it, and that's what he did here. He said, love is not arrogant. It's not resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. Now, wrongdoing here, what I think, so when... So I'll talk about sports again. So I'll use Cam Newton as an example, because he was being boastful and came back to haunting. When he was first playing, and he was so good, but he was so much bigger and faster than everybody else at quarterback. And some of the defensive backs, they're little people. They're like my size, except with no necks. And they're little people, and they would complain that he would hot dog it when he was going into the end zone. And so what he said to him was, well, what you need to do is stop me. So one day he was running into the end zone, but he thought it would be nice if he stopped around the 1 yard line and posed for a picture. And one of the defensive backs on the other team just drilled him. And he was hurt. He never really has played as well since he was hurt on that play. And Newton said after the game he thought it was a cheap shot because he was going in to score. And they asked the guy who hit him. He said, he told me and all of us that if we didn't want him going in the end zone, hot dogging it, that we should stop him. He goes, I did. And it really was a career changer for him. So he boasted. He decided that he was better than everybody. But there's no reason for us to rejoice in the fact that he was injured. And so for us, that would be rejoicing in wrongdoing. So even though you could say, well, he got what he deserved, well, he probably did get what he deserved, but that doesn't mean we want to see somebody get injured or hurt. I was talking with a group of my golfing buddies when you could still play golf, when it wasn't 50 below zero. And I was talking about the president. I said, I worry about the president because sometimes he seems confused to me. And if he's older than me, he's older. And so he's older. And I just worry if that all the... You can look at any president. I don't care how young or old they went into office. When they come out, whether it's 4 years or 8 years, they look like they've been run over by a bus. They're all way older. And I know they got some older in there, but it must take a lot out of them. And I said, I just worry about the president because he seems a little just confused sometimes. So one of the guys said, oh, you're just, and so he took a political. I said, this isn't political. I worry about his health. I think it's okay to worry about people's health. And so even if he says something that seems wrong at the time, there's no rejoice in that if there's something really wrong. And so I want everybody to be well. And so that rejoicing at wrongdoing, I think sometimes we rejoice when something bad happens, especially political. And I think that's why we're so divided, and I think that's why I was supposed to talk about love today, because if we can love everyone, then this division comes to an end, because you can't be mean to somebody you love. You just can't. And so at the end here, he talks about love. So he gets back in what love is again. He said, love believes everything. Love hopes for all. There's hope for all with love. And love endures all. Now, I think the love endures all. I think about the grandkids. So we had them. I told you guys last week, we had grandkids for 5 days in a row. Seemed longer. Just saying, if you think you've been at your house a long time, you should have little grandkids for 5 days. It's worse.
We do have ours 4 nights a week.
So. Okay, so you're there. I'm there. I feel you. I'm with you. And so at the end of, I'm good for 48 hours, okay? At the end of 48 hours, their parents need to come and take them home because I'm too old. They wear me out. And so last week, Raquel calls and says, hey, I'd like to bring dinner and we can have dinner to eat because we're down to just Sophia. And Benita says, honey, I love you. I want you to come here. I want you to pick her up and I want you to go home. Because we'd had them for 4 days, and Benita's sister and her son was coming the next day. So we had less than 12 hours to fix whatever the grandkids did in 5 days. And so we love Sophia and we love Raquel. They needed to go home. We just needed some time alone. And so that endures all. Even though that was really stressful 5 days, then we added three more family days after that. But that week, we were all glad when it was over. But we still love everybody. And so if we can find a way to love the world, a lot of these issues with people hurting each other and all that goes into it, and a lot of times when you see where there's a crime committed, it's related to drugs or alcohol or some other thing that people are doing that's not the best thing in the world, all those things kind of roll in together. So at the end of this, he says what really makes all this work is that love is the greatest of any of God's gifts he gives to us. So I told you all that to tell you this. I got an invite. I've talked about Linda Kitchen before and her mission work at Indian Bible College. And I got invited Thursday night to be on a Zoom. We got to be on a Zoom meeting. They were having like a conference to talk about the Bible College. And they had three people that were supposed to give their testimony about how they came to God. And they didn't send me dessert. So I just was in my bedroom on the computer. About halfway through it, the power went out there. And the man, and his name was, I have 20 or so, he didn't tell us how old he was, but his name was William Axtell. He was given his story, and it stopped right about in the middle. So they sent it to me the next day. They videoed it and sent it to us. And so I was watching it on Friday. And this is what I heard before, that as a very young man, his mom left him and his brothers and sisters with just the dad. The dad was not the best person in the world, had a drug and alcohol problem. William, as a young boy, says, I am never going to be like my dad. I am not going to get involved with drugs and alcohol and not just carry on this same thing going on and on. He said, at the age of 13, I'm drinking just like the rest of my family did. He said at the age, I think he was 14 or 15, I was not really clear on this. He said, I got invited to go to a youth retreat at a church, and I was supposed to journal. He said, the very last thing I wrote in my journal was, if this doesn't change my life, I'm going to end my life when I get home. On the second day of the retreat, and he said, nothing's really changed. He said, I still feel the same. Nothing's really changed. He said, one of the speakers got up in front of us and said, I don't care what's going on in your life. If no one had ever told you they loved them, and that's what William said, I'd never had anyone in my life tell me they loved me. My mom was gone. My brothers never said it. My dad never said it. He said, if that's your life, if that's the way you've always been, he said, let me tell you something that you need to remember for the rest of your life. God loves you. God loves you. He said, that was the very first time in my 15 years of life that someone told me that somebody loved me. And he said, it made a change in my life. He said, I don't drink. I don't do drugs now. He said, I think he's in his second year of Bible college. And right now, they'll come out as pastors of some sort from the school. He said, it's really changed my life. And so I always like it when God brings things into my life that I'm supposed to share the same time I'm supposed to do a scripture on love, right? And so what I would tell you, if anybody here doesn't think anybody loves you, well, first of all, I love you all, okay? But God loves us. no matter what we've done, what we've did, or what we're going to do. Doesn't mean he might not be disappointed in some of our decisions over time, but God loves us. And so if you don't remember anything I said today, which I often think happens, but if you leave and you don't remember anything I said today, remember God loves each of us. And so when you go out into the world, if you deal with someone that's all the things we talked about today, they're not patient, they're not kind, they do envy, they boast, they're rude, they insist on their own way, they're arrogant, they're resentful, and they rejoice at wrongdoing, tell them, I'm sorry that you're like that, but you know what? God loves you. Because it gives us a chance to say something to them that's nice, and it gives them a chance to change their personality. Because maybe it is that they didn't think anybody loved them. And part of what they're doing is, and it doesn't matter whether you're 2 or whether you're 82, maybe they're acting out because they think, like Scrooge, nobody does love them. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful again that we could come together this day to worship and to praise you. Let us all know how much you love and care for us. And when we come upon people in your world that do not know your love, if nothing else, let us tell them that God loves you. Be with us as we go out into your world. Amen.